Father God, there is power in your name. It's an exciting song, and we love to sing that song to you and about you. But the reality is, the emotion is not just wrapped up in the chorus, and it's not just wrapped up in the tune. Father, there's power in your name, and we can't help but get excited about that. Father, my prayer is that the next few moments, as we talk to a few different missionaries and as we look at what's happening in their area of service and what you are doing among their people group, whether it be right here in Albertville or whether it be far away somewhere else, Lord, my prayer is that each of us could stop and say, Lord, what's your command for me? Am I to go across the street, across the county, across the assembly line at work, across the classroom? Am I to go around the world, short term, longer or long term? Father, that every person in this room would understand, as we're going to look at Acts 13 a little later, that there's no one who's off limits. From those that have been in this church the longest to those that are brand new, from those that are on staff to those that volunteer as greeters and door holders and those that serve on hostess and those who teach. Father, that all of us need to say, Father, our yes is on the table. We'll just obey your command to share the gospel. We'll do that where we most adequately can for you with the gifts and abilities you've given us. So, Father, I pray that these next few moments would be powerful. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you're enjoying the service so far. I'm sweating in here, so I'm sorry. I'm just going to tell you. So I'm thrilled to be here with you today. We're going to have a few different of our guests come up and talk a little bit. So I'm going to ask Chuck and Vicky Franks to come, or just Chuck, either way. Vicky, you can come as well, but either way, come along if you will. And I have one microphone for you here. We don't have to sit. We can stand for just a moment if you want. If you guys will stand right over here. Chuck, I want to ask a couple of questions. You guys serve as Career Missionaries International Mission Board. We are proud to sponsor and be a part of the cooperative program. And if you are not familiar with how our denomination works, we as a church give from our regular tithes and offerings, not our advanced 2020 funds, our missions fund. We give from our regular offerings of every dime that comes in today. What we do as a church, if you gave $10, $1 of that goes to the cooperative program. If you gave $100, $10 of that goes to the cooperative program. And from that, that is used through the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board to fund ministries just like yours. So you're serving in Poland. So I have a couple of questions for you. Most people assume that people who are serving as missionaries in another country, like Europe, that they were a pastor, and that after a little while they were serving somewhere as a pastor, and then God said, now I want you to go and do this. What's your story? What were you doing? Were you a pastor? Tell us your story.
Well, that's not true. Vicky and I were just regular people sitting right there in the church. We taught Sunday school. We worked in the nursery. She worked in the nursery. I did not. I was an ordained deacon, but I've never been ordained as a pastor. I've never been on a church staff. In fact, I have worked in food factories, just like I see out on the highway out here. Those exact same factories are the factories that I worked in for the last 17 years. And when I was 45 years old, Vicky and I went on a short-term mission trip to Poland, and God spoke to our hearts. And he said, I want you to go on the mission field. And we explored that possibility, and we stepped out on faith, and we started serving God in a full-time capacity.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. How long have you been in Poland?
We've been in Poland for 7 years now.
Now, was an extensive amount of training and preparation before you could go on the field? Or how does that work if you have been in the workplace and you approach the International Mission Board? And how does that work? What's the process?
Well, it's an interesting question. And the first time we went and we talked to the International Mission Board, their end of the conversation ended with the following sentence. That's nice, but your children are too old, you have the wrong education, and you are not qualified. But I'm in Poland, my children are just as old as they were. I have changed my education. I did do a seminary over the last 7 years online.
While you were on the field.
Online. But we went to Poland as church planners, and we prayed about it, and that was the role that God called us to do. And quite frankly, I was not trained as a church planner. I was not prepared to be a church planner. I did not want to be a church planner. Because if you look at church planners, they have long hair, and they wear their shirt untucked, and they have a beard, and they drink fancy coffee from Starbucks, and they play the guitar. I don't do any of those things.
You
I don't do any of those
buff.
Things.
Stand up,
I don't do any of those things.
Come on, stand up. Shirts untucked, long hair. Did you have coffee this morning? Not from Starbucks. We don't have a Starbucks, buddy. From Tom and Millie Carroll's. Carol Bucks. Okay, all right. Anyway, point taken. We got you. We're with
but,
you, son.
But I'm not any of those things. I'm not your stereotypical church planner. And yet I saw that God can use me, and if I allow God to use the gifts that he has given me and the talents he has given me, not the talents that I think I should have, not the talents that I think I want to have, not the gifts that I want to have, use what he's given to me, he can use me to further his kingdom, and I have enjoyed every day of serving as a church planter.
So you came to realize he had a plan all along.
He does have a plan, and you just got to be faithful and step out and follow it.
Amen. Well, we are thrilled to have you guys with us. It has been a joy. The reality is, as Southern Baptists, there are so many career missionaries. We don't get to put a lot of faces to, we do some, but it's limited. And so to have you here this weekend, to hear what's happening in Poland has been great. Really quickly, one of the ways we could partner with you, he shared this yesterday, and we know this from some former IMB missionaries in our own congregation, that the IMB does a pretty good job of resourcing your travel to get there, of funding you. But the reality is, when it comes to ministry money on the ground, you're really left to yourself to make that happen. So you mentioned yesterday that you have a family camp that you do every summer that God has used. This last year, I think you said you had about a dozen people that gave their life to Christ?
Correct. About a dozen adults.
Adults that gave their life to Christ through that they're able to disciple. And so one of the ways I think we as a church could help them is we're going to continue to give our cooperative program dollars, and we'll continue to support you that
Thank
way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
But maybe what we can do as well is we can find a way to be able to sponsor a couple of families to go to your camp. I believe for an entire family to go for a week, you said, was about $500 American. Is
yes,
that right?
About $500. So sponsored the typical family. You know, if you have 10 kids, it's a little bit more. You have no kids, it's a little bit less, but that's a good rule.
But if you say, that's something I can do, you may say, I don't know that I can go to Poland, but I can help a family be able to go and to be immersed in the gospel, be discipled, be loved on, and then connected to a local church plant. We would love to help do that. So we're going to make that happen.
Thank you.
We're thrilled to be able to help make that happen. And I assume whatever we can come up with, you can take that many more families to start with, to begin with. So
yes, we can.
Thank you very much. We want to pray for you. It's been an honor to have you here. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Chuck and Vicky. I pray that that you would continue to give them direction in the city that they are located in, and the ministries that they are doing, in the other places that they would explore and consider making disciples and planting a congregation. My prayer is that you would continue to do that among in them and through them. Father, that you would provide protection for them in their marriage, in their family. Father, on difficult days when maybe they're discouraged, Lord, that you would remind them that this is all for you. And Father, that you are at work in their midst. Father, on the exciting days when they see the fruit of you bringing people to yourself, Father, that in those days they would still be reminded that it's all for you. And Lord, I thank you, and this congregation thanks you for the fact that you are still allowing men and women to go and serve as IMB missionaries. So Father, our prayer is that we could continue to faithfully support the cooperative program as the church, and we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you guys very much for letting me share.
Thank you very much.
As they make their way down, I want to share one scripture with you that I thought about when I knew I was going to ask him that particular question, and I already knew somewhat of the answer, that he had not served in ministry up until that time as on staff at a church, quote unquote. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says this: Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a longtime friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now, we don't have time to look at the overall context of that, but let me simply suffice it to say this, that this local body was praying, and God said to them, send Paul and Barnabas to minister in another place. And so can you imagine in the midst of this, you have right here with you what we would all agree in Barnabas and Saul. You would think these are what we might call the rock stars of the faith. These are strong men of faith. These are the ones you want to keep around. And so they did not have the mentality of this is our faith family. This is who we are. So we need everybody we have. So Lord, you can't be sending them. But instead they prayed, and I love the obedience that God laid it on their hearts in Paul, in Saul and Barnabas. And so what do they do immediately? They fast, they pray, they lay hands on them, and they send them. Now what does that say? What it says to me is that they understood in Antioch what it means to say that no one is off limits, that we all belong to the kingdom of God, and he can take our leader, he can take the newest member, he can take someone who serves in this capacity or that capacity or whatever, but anyone can be used by him. And the reality is we are all commanded to share the gospel. So what I would say to you today is this. If you think, well, I'm glad we're having this missions emphasis, but the reality is I'm not ever going to be one of those missionaries. What I would say to you is this. You are one. God commands you just the same to share the gospel. He commands you to make disciples. And so I really want to encourage you, and the same as I want to encourage myself, let's all say to God today, God, I put my yes on the table. I am your disciple, and I will make disciples of others. Would you have me make them here in Albertville? Would you have me make them through one of the local ministries? Would you have me partner with someone else? Do I need to be in New England or New Jersey? Do I need to be overseas? Father God, however you can use me, use me. Now, people start to get a little nervous when we say things like that, but I can tell you there is no greater freedom than being willing to say to God, my yes is on the table. Use me as you see fit. Whatever you command, I will be obedient. I want to take time just a moment now to share with you about one other ministry very quickly, and that is the Haitian Ministry Task Force. Most of you know that a number of years ago, there was a major earthquake in Haiti, and that earthquake devastated so much of Port-au-Prince and surrounding areas. And our very own Harold Fontaine from our church, we call him our very own still, though he moved away anyway. We still call him ours. The church that his father had helped to start and had really been a leader in for multiple decades, that church was destroyed in that earthquake. And so over the last number of years, that local congregation in Haiti, with very limited resources, have been clawing and scraping and scratching and working hard to rebuild that. And so they have part, what they would call the first floor of that, up and running and working on the next part. And so Pierre and Harold approached us and said, would we be willing to possibly help in some ways, to send some people to do some physical work in certain ways, to contribute financially, to be at a place where others might be able to give through here to help make that happen? And I have to be honest with you, there are probably way more than dozens. There would be many, many places in Haiti that we could send money to and not really know where it was going to go. There are many people in great need in Haiti, but God has given us an opportunity because of people we know, love, and trust to know what will happen there with the work. And so we have an opportunity to partner with Pierre and Harold and Pastor Thomas, who is here all the way from Haiti. So you need to get a chance to meet him and talk. Jésus-t'aime, my friend. So we get a chance to meet him and talk with him and be around him. We're thankful to have them here. And so that meeting at 5 o'clock is where you can come and find out about what's going on in Haiti. Harold's going to talk about that and share some insight about what's happening. Have a few pictures to show as well so that you can see what's happened and what's being done and how we can be a part of it. And then also how you might be a part of a short-term team that would go for a few days at a time and help do some work. So I invite everybody who's the least bit interested to come at 5 o'clock to room 100 to find out about that. We encourage you to do so. However, I knew we couldn't have Pierre come today and not sing a song. So Pierre, would you come and sing for us? Now, as as Pierre is coming, and I know time's going to get away from us. Come ahead, Mrs. Zoya. I want to introduce, this is Zoya Johnson. This is Greg and Zoya Johnson. She is from Kazakhstan originally. Greg, listen, you talk about being on the mission field and expanding. You lead your wife to the, you lead her, well, she wasn't your wife. You led her to the Lord and then fell in love and married her, right? Well, that's a sweet story. And then you guys have 7 children. And so right now they are living here in North Alabama, was not able to maintain his visa to stay. What's happening with this is, you say, why is she up here? Is it going to be a duet? Miss Zoya happens to be a concert pianist, so she is going to accompany Pierre. So I'll let you make your way that way to do so. And we'll hear a little more about Greg and Zoya in just a moment. Pierre, sing for us.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. It's a great pleasure to be here with you. And so I want to continue to sing the praises of God because He deserves our praise. Amen.
Come to the Father through Jesus, God's Son, and give Him the glory. Great things He has done.
Thank you very much.
Praise the Lord.
That was all right. Okay. It is always great. Now, every other person that comes up to speak, be ready. You're next. Shirley and David Chupp, you're next. You have your song ready? Come on up, if you will, to the Chupps. I know that he does sing very well, right? So I do.
Not that well.
I have one microphone to share, if that's okay. So I would like to ask you all a couple of questions. You guys serve with Room in the Inn, the Marshall. What's the official name of the ministry?
Marshall County Homeless Ministries is the umbrella, and Room in the Inn is a program of. And we will be adding a second program just in the next week or so, the Neighborhood Inn, which will be a transitional housing facility.
So my question is, both of you are busy people. You're a pediatrician here in our county, very busy, successful. You are a counselor here. You have so much going on. Why? Why do this? What led you to be a part of this?
We realized several years ago that we had surrounded ourselves with our church family and that we were not going anywhere where there was darkness. I actually was standing in the line at the grocery store one morning and God convicted me of that. And that if we were going to be the light, we had to go where there was darkness. And God began to break our heart for the situation of our neighbors without homes. And as we've responded to that, then Room in the Inn has kind of grown out of that.
Can you give us one story or one example of someone that you see how God has brought transformation through the ministry, or just somehow that you see that God has moved in power in that way? I should have told you that in advance, put you on the spot there.
There's so many stories to
I think one of our most powerful stories, a lot of people have already heard, but it just is such a powerful story, it bears repeating. We had a gentleman come in one day. We thought he was from Kentucky. He registered and went out to the church that night, and it was the first night that St. Paul United Methodist had hosted Room in the Inn. And he sat down at the table at St. Paul with a gentleman that was not part of the Room in the Inn team, but had come by to see what his church had gotten involved in. And they struck up a conversation about fishing. And as they talked about favorite fishing holes, favorite fishing buddies, Bill, our new neighbor, found out that Charlie, the gentleman at the church, his favorite fishing buddy was his uncle. Bill had been estranged from his family for 25 years, not spoken to anyone in his family. And through that conversation, Bill ended up with his uncle's phone number. And he came back to the day center the next day, and he called his uncle, and he gave him his mother's phone number. He called his mother. And in the time it took to drive from Boaz to Gunnersville, his mother was there. And we watched this beautiful thing as this 75-plus-year-old mother wrapped a son that she had not seen in 25 years in her arms. And God is a God of reconciliation. That's what the cross is about. But He has made us ministers of reconciliation. And Charlie that night, unbeknownst to him, was a minister of reconciliation. He reconciled a family. Bill couldn't wait to go back to St. Paul to tell Charlie about that. But Charlie actually passed away 3 days after that encounter. And so he had a divine appointment that night. And those are some of the things that we see happen around the tables at these churches at Room in the Inn that we never expected to see, but that God uses because His people are faithful and respond when He prompts them to do things.
We're new. Last month was our first month to serve, so a lot of our folks still will not even understand the process. Why use churches? How is that important in this process?
It's very important in the process. First of all, it allowed us to respond to a challenge in our community without any capital outlay. And so we organized the churches to provide shelter and meals for our neighbors without homes. And so Each day at 5:30, the church that is on the schedule, and that ends up being about once a month because we have about 40 churches, comes to our day center and picks up the people who need to be sheltered for that night. They're taken back to the church. They eat a meal with the folks at the church, spend the night, feed them breakfast the next morning, give them a sack lunch, and bring them back to the center. Our hope in all of this is that people who have been alienated by the church, hurt by the church, will see the church in a different light, see the church as a place of radical hospitality that welcomes them in, and also that the attitudes of church people will change about who is homeless and why they're homeless. When you sit across the table from someone and you tell your story and you hear their story, you realize that we all have a story, and that grace is for all of us.
I will tell you, last month being our first month, some of our volunteers, I heard a very similar statement when it was over, and it was basically this: that was not who I expected to find here, was the words that were brought and shared. And just because it may be hard for some in this room to understand that there are people who find themselves without a place to live in Marshall County. What do you see? I'm just going to use this term. What types of people, how does that happen that we find people in our county who do not? Because I believe it's not what people think. And so,
well, statistically, more than half of America is two paychecks away from being homeless. So if your company starts laying people off, or there is, you might make a bad decision in some area of your life that affects you financially, and then, you know, you miss two paychecks, you can't pay the rent, you get evicted. One of our gentlemen that stayed with us a couple of years ago had owned his own business and had lived in a $250,000 house the year before. So it is not just those people who are mentally ill or chronically poor decision makers or drug involved. Certainly we see some of that, but a lot of our folks are people just like you who've had a bad turn of luck.
We have families. 1 year, a quarter of the neighbors that stayed with us were children. So there are a lot of families in this county that are sleeping in their cars and trying to find a way to wash their kids up before they get to school, staying from home to home, people that you see on the street.
Well, it's a joy for us to get to be a part of it. We're excited to partner with you. Besides hosting once a month, which we're doing, tonight is our night. And so if you come to the concert tonight, and we hope you will, we've shifted the times a little bit so that they can be here early enough to come in and enjoy the concert if they so choose. So if you see someone you don't know, please introduce yourself, welcome them, let them know that we're glad to have them here this evening. But we're involved once a month. How else, what's other ways a church could be involved?
We invite you to come and participate in our day program. When we open mid-November, we are open 24/7 until the end of March. So we have a day program where we do have a paid staff worker there during the day, but we rely heavily on volunteers. And so we would invite you, if you have a morning or an afternoon that you can give us, to come and to be there. You might do things like teach a class. We teach classes in job skills, life skills, anger management, spiritual development, a lot of different things going on. But you might just sit down and have a conversation with someone. They may need some encouragement. You might run someone to an appointment, or pick them up from work, or drop them off at work, or just sit down and help someone fill out a simple form. A lot of our people don't have the ability to do that on their own, and so they need someone to read through things with them. Many of them don't have the identification that they need to be able to get a job, and they've been without an address or a phone number, and so those are things that we kind of can help provide, but they still need some assistance filling out that paperwork.
Well, we're honored to have you here. We're honored to be a part of the ministry and to partner with you in that way. And so if you would like specific information how you can volunteer, I would invite you, when the service is over, we'll be out there for just a few minutes in the multi-ministry facility. Go by the Room in the Inn booth and see the Chups and let them just share with you how you can do that. Let's say a prayer for them. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the Room in the Inn ministry. I thank you that we get to be a part of it. I thank you for all of the churches that have many volunteers who will love on their neighbors. Father, may we all stop and understand that except for circumstance and your grace, Father, we all could find ourselves in just the exact same position. So we're so thankful for the opportunities we have to be a light to others around us, to be a word of encouragement, and Father, to be an example of the gospel, and then to share the gospel. So I pray that every single person that passes through the doors of those churches through Room in the Inn over the next month or two, Father, that they will all get an opportunity and a desire to respond to the Holy Spirit's draw, that they might come to know you, Father. I thank you for their chups and their willingness to commit a lot of time and effort to be a part of this. I thank you that here again we see people who are living their lives and simply being obedient to the command you've given them. So thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. I have one last person I would like to introduce to you for just a moment. I'm going to ask Greg Johnson to make his way this way, if he will. And Zoya can come stand if you would like. We'd love for you to as well. Greg, I have to tell you, everyone that has heard you speak so far yesterday and today, I've heard multiple people say to me things like, that's sort of ruining me, or that's what I mean is in a good way, the story of how God is moving in the closed countries of Central Asia is powerful for us. So what I would like for you to do for just a second is, you don't have to reveal the names of the countries or whatever. We are live streaming. I know we're good with all that. But talk a little bit about the places you're serving. Are they allowed legally to be believers? And whether the country allows it or not, do their neighbors support that? And what happens to someone who comes to follow Christ?
Well, Central Asia is a large area. Closer. And so there are different situations politically all over Central Asia. Some governments actively suppress, some don't. And so that differs from area to area. But one thing that is consistent across Central Asia is that the greatest opposition to the gospel comes from, as Jesus said, one's enemies shall be they of his own household. Talking about people who respond to the gospel, the greatest opposition they will face will be from their family and from their clan and from their village. And for a person to believe the gospel, they have to, before they make that decision that, yes, I am going to follow Jesus, they have to, in their mind, renounce all of their family, their job, their life up to that point. They have to be willing to let go of that in order to follow Christ.
Pretty biblical example of what that means, and we are so blessed. And what I keep hearing people say is we're reminded of how easy we have it here to follow Jesus and what that means. So what's a typical example, or give us a specific story of someone who has made the difficult decision to follow Jesus and then has been faced with some of the very things, losing family. Give us one example, if you will.
Well, I feel like a couple here a while ago, I got to choose one. Almost everyone there faces an identical situation. For example, Brother Altenbeck. Brother Altenbeck came into our ministry to get his cousin out. He was convinced that we were leading her astray and that we were, in his words, seducing her away from her, from the true faith. He came in and he said, he told me up front, I want to get my cousin out of here. And he was a member of the presidential bodyguard. He was a very respected soldier there in Kyrgyzstan. And he was offended by the fact she was with us. He came, he said, will you let me come and talk to her? I said, you can stay as long as you want, but you have to attend Bible classes. You have to attend the Bible studies. And after 3 months, one Sunday morning, in a Sunday morning service, he trusted Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
He immediately began to face fierce opposition, threats, beatings. His father beat him. He told me one time, he said, I hid my Bible on the roof in a plastic bag behind the chimney. He said, and I would climb up the outside and I would sit on the roof and read my Bible so my father wouldn't see me, even as an adult. And so that is a typical story. And he today, by the way, is one of the most influential pastors in Kyrgyzstan.
Amen. So he's pastoring now.
Yes, sir.
One of your, look, one more. You just returned from Central Asia Friday,
yes, sir.
Thursday night, and we were in contact through your special way of communicating and posting some videos along the way, a secure way. But I remember one of the little things you talked about, and I want to ask you if you'll talk about it for just a moment, because it really touched me. I broke down even just reading it. You were talking about an elderly woman that was sitting on her bed, and the Bible study was in her home, and you thought she had fallen, but instead she was reaching for something else. Would you talk about that situation just a little bit?
Yes, it's one of the church plants in the Ferganaw Valley, and I actually had not met this lady, but she had started attending the church plant since I was there in August. And whenever I come in, she's from the waist down, she's basically paralyzed, but she can just get by on crutches just a little bit. And whenever we assemble together and we meet in living rooms and private houses, and everyone was going into the living room to sit down to start the Bible study or the service. And I saw her, and she was hurrying as fast as she could, kind of hopping, pulling herself into the bedroom there. And just as she ran around the corner, I saw her just collapse and hit the floor. And I thought she fell. And I went running in there, but she hadn't fallen. She was laying on her stomach, and she was reaching up under her bed where she sleeps, and she pulled out her Bible. And she got that Bible, she laid it up on the bed, and then she started to pull it. And I went over and pulled her up, but she didn't really need my help. But I pulled her up, and she needed me to move out of the way. She was getting back around that corner to get back into that Bible study. And no, we went to another village the next day where we have a church plant, and it's 2.5 hours away. And who should come climbing up 3 flights of stairs? Her. She traveled all the way to that other city because she said, "You were only in my town one day." She said, "I want to hear everything I can." And absolutely starving and hungry for the Word of God. And her husband is a Muslim. In the beginning, he would beat her and mistreat her, and yet we had the joy of watching him come to the service that day and sit and listen politely.
Amen. One more. I remember seeing a video that you posted. This was from your previous trip. You took some gentlemen with you, and one of the gentlemen was very sick when you arrived after a long flight and a long drive. And you arrived late in the night, and you were all exhausted and tired, and you thought he was going to need to lay down and rest. But you just showed the video, and I could tell you were exhausted. It's you walking in, and you said, "We came, this man is sick, he needs rest, but this is what we walk into." And explain to people what was happening in that house late that night when you arrived.
Well, that's actually the same town to where that lady was, and that back then we were meeting in this much smaller room. And we had traveled, it's a 19-hour trip, we had traveled across there, and the guy was very sick. And I was concerned about him, and we were having to stop for his sake, and so we were late getting there. We had told them we'd be there by 6 in the evening. Actually, it was almost 10 o'clock at night, and I said, "I've got to go take him. I've got to find a place." We were going to sleep in the van that night, but because he was sick, we said, "Well, we'll find a place where he can lay down." And when we got there, though, we walked in. They were waiting to have a service at 10 o'clock at night, and I said, "How long have they been waiting?" They said, "Well, y'all said you'd be here at 6, so they've been here since 5. And said, "We've been waiting on you to get here." I said, "Well, we got to go lay this man down. Why don't we do this tomorrow?" And they said, "Oh, no." They said, "You take him. Let the other two people come in here and start the service." They said, "We've been sitting here all day waiting, and you're leaving tomorrow. We need every minute that we can." And so we left 2 preachers there. We found a place for him, and then I came back, and we had service till 1 o'clock in the morning, and then up the next day and service all day the next day. They're literally just hungry for knowledge of the Word of God. They want every question answered that they can.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing. Let me ask this. So I know your vision for church planting, and I want to ask, you have some men now that have been trained that are willing to move to other villages and other areas, and it's all hostile for them to do so, but they're willing to do so to share the gospel. Resources are needed for that to happen. What does it take? I cannot remember. I don't have the figures with me. To put a church planter if you have one now, someone you need funded to take care of someone to be somewhere for a month, what does it take for a church planter to do that?
To open a new village or town, the way that it's gone this year, with the way things are, as far as we're reaching into new areas that are logistically very far away, and that represents more cost. It actually costs us about $600 a month to open a church plant in a new city where there's absolutely no local support at all.
So for $600 a month, we could provide a church planter and his family what they would need to survive, plus the resources ministry.
And that would also allow us to rent a facility, which is gives us so many more options. We can rent a place where there's more privacy, away from other people, and it allows them to invite people any time of the day or night, invites them to sing and things like that they can't do if they have to meet in someone's home.
Well, I want to challenge our church. Currently, Greg and Zoya are not partners of ours. We brought them here so that they could become that with us. But I want to challenge some of us as individuals to begin to consider would you be willing to provide 1 month for that church planter that we could commit a year at least to start with to put someone somewhere? And for $600 a month, we could do that, and what a difference it would make. We know that God is moving. Many people are coming to Christ, and they're being discipled well. So you prayerfully consider that, and you let me know if you want to be a help to make that happen. And we're going to begin partnering with them in other ways as well. But if you want to help make that happen, we would love to do so. We appreciate your ministry. We appreciate what you're doing, your faithfulness. And the reality is you're doing it on a very tight budget, but that's never been a complaint of yours. God's been faithful, and he's providing, and so it's an honor to have you here. If you're someone who wants to help make that happen, you come see me when we're done. Let's pray for the Johnsons. Father, I pray for Greg and Zoya, for their children. I pray that you would continue to give them vision for what's next and the next step and the next place. They have to prayerfully consider what village to move into next. Father, there are great things at risk, so they need to be led by your Spirit. So, Father, I pray that you would do that, that you would give them wisdom, that you would meet every need that is there. I know there's some physical need for equipment and things that they could use. Father, that we as a faith family could help them. Father, that we could find ways to be a part of what's happening there. That, Lord, what a blessing it would be as if today we could raise enough funds to cover a year of a church plant there in Central Asia. So, Father, I pray you lay on the hearts of 12, 15 people that they'll help in some way to make that happen. Father, I thank you for the privilege to know this couple who serves you well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last question real quick, and that is this. Your safety, is there an issue concerning with you being there, and do you worry about your safety?
No, sir. I like what David Livingston said. He said, I am immortal until my work's done. The Lord's in control. We try to be careful because we don't want to bring unwarranted attacks on the people that are working with us. So that causes us to be much more careful. But we believe that until our work for the Lord is done, we are perfectly safe.
Amen. All right, let's thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, you all know what it says. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Make disciples of all nations. All means Albertville. Amen. All means remote places in the world. It means hidden homes in Kyrgyzstan. It means remote villages in Gulu, Uganda. It means a church in Aflao, Ghana. It means a dental clinic in the back of our building. It includes a hospital in Kenya and other places as well. Atlantic City, New Jersey, Poland. On and on we could go. All includes all those places. I made a statement this morning in Bible study I want to say again to all of us, and that is this. There are no, and please know this, it's true, there are no God-forsaken places on this planet. But there are some church-forsaken places. And so what's important is that we know there are no God-forsaken people on this planet. But there are some church-forsaken people. And so our responsibility as the church is to say, we can't be every church, and there are others that get it right and some that don't, but for us as a faith family, we will not forsake those around us in our community. We will not forsake those far away either. So we have an opportunity to help be a part of that. You did not get to hear from some of these, but we would love to help Carol Spears as she ministers in Kenya. She feels a real drawing from the Lord to maybe have a move away from where she is now, where she's been comfortable is a strong word to use, but where she has been comfortable in her service there to move to a much more Muslim populated area to minister to Muslims in Kenya. Listen, if you watch the news, you very quickly see Al-Shabaab is moving all throughout Kenya and other places. But here's a single lady who says, I trust the Lord, and this is what God's telling me to do. We'd love to be a part of that. We'd love to be a part of helping Greg and Zoya in Central Asia, of helping to provide a camp in Poland. We'd love to help in Maine, more churches come to know what it means to make disciples and more people have an opportunity to hear the gospel in New Jersey, for God to continue to work through Buff and Sissy as he has over and over and over. But I'm going to be very honest as we close for just a moment. The method we have used these past 5 years, over the past 5 years, God's blessed through the Advance 2020 emphasis. But the reality is that's designed for people to give, first of all, above and beyond their regular giving. And we have some faithful people who have done it. And so we still have partnerships that aren't here. We have partnerships in Brazil. We have partnerships in Belize. We have partnerships in Lebanon. Well, we have, I'm forgetting other places, but we have multiple partnerships, different places. And we're thrilled to continue to do those. We will. But I will tell you, for us to add new partners, there are a number of us who are not giving to the Advance 2020 Fund. You may not know how to do that. So here's what I want to say to you. If you would simply make a commitment to give something above and beyond your regular giving once a month to help with that, we would be able to fund and partner all these ministries, even more. And so I would encourage you to prayerfully consider that. If you're giving, please just stay the course as we continue to give to Advance 2020. If not, I will tell you this. You will not be investing in anything inside this building. You will be investing in the kingdom of God. You will be investing in what's happening around the world and right throughout Marshall County as well. So I encourage you to give. But here's what I want to ask. And we've never done this before, but here's what I want to ask that we do. I want to ask that you do make a commitment to give on a regular basis, just like my family is making. But what I would also ask is that next Sunday you would prayerfully consider some type of one-time gift above and beyond the regular that we can bring together next Sunday for Advance 2020 that will help us fund some of these things and get them off the ground in a quicker way. So regular giving, but also a one-time gift next week. Now, I will be honest, it's not going to be the same gift for all of us. I just encourage you to pray and say what God would have you to do. If it's a dollar, give a dollar. If it's $10,000, give $10,000. Whatever God's saying to you is all I'm asking you to do. But would you prayerfully join us? I love being a part of this faith family, and I love your heart for the nations. And my prayer is that we could just multiply that in the days to come. My prayer is that we would also not realize that it's just writing a check and giving, but that it also includes going. So there are some lovely local ministries that would love to have you volunteer, serve. There are some wonderful places that would love to have you go on short-term trips. There are some that we're headed to this year already. But it's not just giving. It's not just going. Ultimately, the most important thing we can do by far is to be prayer warriors for these ministries. So would you pray? It doesn't matter if you're the oldest person in the room or the youngest. There's ways you can serve. There's ways you can pray and give and go. Let's be obedient to him. Would you pray with me with our heads bowed? Just a little moment of privacy before I pray. I want to ask you a question. What about you? What about you? When you hear that scripture, go and make disciples of all nations. That's a command not only for those that were standing there that day, but we know it's a command for all believers. And Chris Mobbs very poignantly shared Friday night that it is not so much about a call as it is about a command. We can no longer use the excuse that says, well, I wasn't called to work with homeless people, or I wasn't called to move to New Jersey, or I wasn't called to go to Africa. What we have to say is we've all been given the same command, and that's make disciples. And so we simply look for how we can be most effective in doing that, and we do it. If that means volunteering with Great Physician Clinic, going to Second Chance Food Pantry to help share the gospel, they do not have enough people that can be there to share the gospel every time food's given out. You can do that. If that means helping to give out food, if that means serving, volunteering or finding a way behind the scenes to help with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, you may say, well, I'm a man, I can't do that. Listen, there's things men can do, and you can see Sharon. There's ways you can be involved and help. Maybe for you, though, God's saying to you, you're supposed to help with a family camp in Poland, not just to give to it, but to go and help for a week this summer. See the Franks. Maybe God's telling you to connect with Buff and Sissy in New Jersey. We've sent individuals up there who just want to serve and help, and teams. Maybe God's calling you to go with us to Maine in the fall. Maybe for you, it's to serve in the Dominican Republic, the family mission trip the kids are doing to Kentucky. Maybe it's to go to Brazil with our ministry partner there that we'll be partnering with. Whatever it is, to go to Haiti, to serve and to provide for the Johnsons in Central Asia. Whatever God's saying to you, all I'm asking is that you don't have to tell me what it is. Just make a commitment to the Lord and say yes. What your command is and where I feel like I can be used, my answer is yes. Now, Father God, my prayer is in these next few moments as we sing Wherever He Leads, I'll Go, that would be truth from our lips. Lord, if You lead us across the street, if You lead us to a neighbor, if You lead us to a family member, if You lead us to walk out to one of those booths and be a blessing to one of our guests, if You lead us to make a trip around the world or to partner with someone else, Lord, whatever it is, wherever You lead, I'll go. That's my answer already, Father. I'm going to pray it to You right now. Lord, wherever You lead me, I'll go. I'm going to obey Your command to make disciples, and if that means right here in Albertville today, if that means to make a special trip somewhere, if it means to serve in a ministry, I just want to be obedient to You. Father, I pray the same for every person in this room, that we would not make some kind of decision based off of emotion, but that we would look at the truth of God's word, Father, and that we would see You've given us a command. Oh, now as disciples, we can live it out. Thank You, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.